following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office, Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you for tuning in, dialing us up, downloading, whatever it is that you people do on such occasions. It is, as this is being recorded, it is Super Bowl Sunday. As a matter of fact, the game is starting in about 10 minutes. And you can tell just by that statement alone that I really don't give a rat's ass about the NFL or the game or anything like that. You know, go sports team. I don't know. The NFL just seems sort of dumb and weird. I seem sort of glib about it, you know. It's the NFL, bro. You know, what kind of a man are you if you don't like football, huh? Huh? It's okay, I guess. I mean, to each their own. I have a family, had a family member that played the game, not on the professional level, although he was close, and, you know, got his head beat in, and he passed away at the age of 54 from Alzheimer's. You know, it's kind of hard to like a game that does that to people. It really is. This whole denial by the NFL about concussions is just astounding to me. Every medical professional on the planet will tell you what the hell is going on. In fact, I saw a tweet a while ago from somebody. Somebody that I follow retweeted it, so it came from God knows where. And it was this woman. I think she was a doctor, perhaps. And she said, instead of, you know, them showing music and stuff during the halftime show, they should show images, x-rays, MRI images of CTE, you know, players' heads that have been beat in enough that their brains have turned to complete marshmallow, which, you know, it's the thing about the NFL. The stereotype of the football player has always been this big, dumb brute. And there's hate to say it, but it seems like there may be a lick of truth to that. I mean, we're always seeing these guys getting arrested, doing stupid stuff. There's probably steroids involved. The NFL doesn't care about that either, although they say they do, but they don't. If they tested everybody with the steroids thing, then you wouldn't have any players. That's the way that works. And these guys are out there, you know, dying to play this game, quite literally. There's a youngster I know, a high school kid. He plays football for his high school. He's a good kid. He's a big boy too, and he plays football and he enjoys the hell out of it. He has a great time with it. He wants to turn pro like every other kid that plays the game. And I said, you know, have you thought about this? I mean, have you thought about the health implications? You're lucky if you get like 4 or 5 years. Like the average is like 2.5 years or something like that. So if you got 4 or 5 years in the game, make you some money, smart with it, you're good to go. You can draw your pension, I think, after 4 years or something. And he said, well, you know, the average lifespan of a defensive lineman is 54 years of age. 52 or 54, somewhere in there. Young. Too young to be dropping dead. And I said, does this not bother you at all? He's a defensive lineman. I said, does this not bother you? I don't really think about it. It's not going to be me. I'm going to play the game. I'm going to get in. I'm going to go pro. I'm going to beat my head in. And I'll be fine. I'm going to be the one that defies the statistics. And I wished him the best of luck. You know, he's 16, 17-year-old kid. What is this? I don't know. I don't know. I do know that there's a lot of parents out there who are not letting their kids play. They're refusing their kids' entry into the sport. Because of that, there's going to be a point when the NFL will just naturally die because there's not enough people who give a shit about the game. I think we're starting to see that now because it's not just the fact that, you know, you don't have as much players to pick from anymore. But I used to watch it when I was a kid. They've changed the sport so much under the guise of preventing injury But let's be honest, 4 or 5 years in the NFL, you're lucky you'll be able to, you'll be lucky if you can walk correctly. And chances are you're going to wind up with some type of debilitating mental problem that, or a drug problem, or God knows what. It's a tough call. It really is. You know, I think, you know, my point of view, if you've got a kid that's interested in professional sports, baseball, baby, steer them right into that. They make the most money. There's the least amount of trouble that you could get seriously hurt. It's kind of rare. Very rare. Or professional golf. You know, what was it? You know, go get it. You're better off getting into a race car than you are stepping onto a football field. Of course, if they want to prevent head injuries in the NFL, take the helmets off. Take the face mask off the helmets at the very least, because, you know, it's they didn't have these problems, you know, back in those days. It's my point of view. And it's because some people sit there and go, God, Rick, you're so un-American that you don't like the NFL. It's not that. It has nothing to do with it. It's just I don't know. I guess I've outgrown it. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think I've watched maybe 2 games with the wife. I know my wife loves it. She's a big sports nut, though. But, you know, and there's some things that I like. I like watching the NBA. I like watching some Major League Baseball. I don't really care much for college sports. I love auto racing. But when it comes to professional football, I just, you know, I'm happier watching a soccer match than I am. Hell, I'm happier watching cricket. What the hell is wrong with you? I know, right? Well, it's what it is, and it's turned into this year. This past season has been nothing but controversy after controversy after controversy, and it had nothing to do with the actual game itself. It was this whole business of whether or not these players should be standing for the national anthem. And before you get your hackles up, it's not in the rule book that they have to do it. It says that they should, but they don't have to. It's an exercise of freedom of speech. And I love it when the president of the United States sits there and goes, oh, they hate America. And, you know, they're just blah, 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 which is not what it was about. It really wasn't. It had nothing to do with not being patriotic. You had people of color refusing to stand for the national anthem because the country refused to stand for them. And these police officers going I don't know what you want to call it, but this trend of shooting unarmed black people, and that's what they were protesting. It had nothing to do with dishonoring soldiers. That was not even part of. Wasn't even part of it. It just shows you how out of touch this guy is. So that controversy is going on. You got these guys' medical conditions that is happening. All of these things. And oh yeah, remember the boycott? Because of the national anthem thing and the president making that statement that he said about it, you know, that they're dishonoring all this. There were videos of guys on Facebook that were like diehard like Kansas City Chiefs fans, and they were taking the jerseys and they were setting them on fire. They were burning their stuff. You know, hats and shirts, jerseys, t-shirts, you know, whatever they had. Just destroying their stuff. I'm boycotting the NFL because they hate America. Okay, that was early on in the season, about a third of the way in. Two-thirds of the way in, you're like, so how's that boycott working out there for you? Because it is Super Bowl Sunday and not all over the place, but there's a good fair number of people on at least in my feed, in my social media feed, they're talking about the game. How is that boycott working for you? You just gave up on all that shit, did you? Because it wasn't your fight. You weren't going to give up, you know. Well, I love my Cowboys, but, you know, goddamn it, they got to stand up for the national anthem, and they're not doing it? Oh, well, I'm going to go do something else. How are my Cowboys doing? I got to know. They suck. Don't worry. I mean, it's that thing. And I guess also from, you know, because it's just absurd. The whole thing is ridiculous. It's just stupid. And the only other thing that I find somewhat amusing about all of this, or at least sad, is that people act like this is the end all to be all. Sports reporters on the radio, specifically sports guys that do the long form talk shows, Those guys are insufferable. I can't listen to it. I cannot listen to ESPN radio. I just cannot do it. I can't even do it on a local level because it's all about themselves. These guys, that's all they talk about is themselves and how they feel about the game and who should have wanted to, and if it were me and blah, 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 and I think the blah, 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 blah. And it's every day and it's insane. I don't know. Call me jaded. I don't know. You can say what you will about it, but I just find it kind of hard that people put that much stock into something that really has no bearing on anything. I guess I don't know. And does it really? Does any of this matter? Because we have the record books, right? Does this really matter? I couldn't tell you who won the past five Super Bowls. I could not. What is this? 52? 52 years of this? 52 separate games. There are people that'll spend loads of money to go to these goddamn games. And that's something else. It's the money. It's just insane. The marketing and the money and all the stuff that goes involved into it. I mean, nobody's making any more than, you know, no one touches an NFL referee. They're the ones making the big bucks. So I've had my predictions about this particular game. There's no point in bringing it up here, but you know, I've gone so far as to tell the wife that the whole fucking thing is rigged, because I think it is. I really do. Thought the whole season was rigged. The one game I did watch, I thought that was just, you know, ridiculously rigged, and that's just my point of view. Now you don't have to like it. That's all right. But if you do like it, enjoy it, go into it, balls to the wall. All right, kids, coming up on this program, a visit, a conversation, and a bit of a performance from Mr. Sean Bad Apple. Sean Apple is, he's a great guy. He's a tremendous guitar player, great singer, great bluesman. He was on an episode of the Booze and Blues show, which was live a few weeks back. And I thought, well, hey, let's get this one going, because you may have missed it. So this is only part of it. This isn't the whole performance, mind you. But this is just a little bit of it. Great conversationalist, great dude, great all-around nice guy. He tells a couple of stories. We're going to, you know, have some fun, have some laughs. Jeff Janowitz and I had this conversation with him, and you're going to hear it, at least a good chunk of it. It's coming up next, right up out of the break, right here from Radioland.
Keep calm and haunt on with Historical Haunts, Memphis Haunted Tour Company. Ancient burial mounds, yellow fever, maritime disasters, Victorian murders, and ghost stories are all a part of the Memphis Dark History. Join Historical Haunts for a spirited night out on the Haunted Memphis Bus Tour, Haunted Pub Crawl, the Woodruff Fontaine House Ghost Tour, or one of our other spooky tours and events. Check out our website for all of the exciting ghost tours and ghost haunts at historicalhauntsmemphis.com.
One of our dearest friends, Mr. Sean Apple, is here in the studio.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Yeah, well, there you are.
Hello, Mr. Apple.
Well, I just had a crazy mind trick being played on me because I looked over on the computer and saw the us being filmed in here. And I looked at it and I felt like the devil got my soul or something crazy because it's doing things I'm not doing.
Yeah, there's a little time delay.
Yeah, like I took a drink and then I put it down. I saw, so I was doing this and nothing was happening. I was waving my arms around. Yeah. Can't see. And then I look over there, and like 5 seconds later, then I just took a drink, and I'm like, it felt so weird, but I understand.
It's a little different, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I can see the top.
It is real disconcerting when you see that.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's like, not me. Look, now I'm doing stuff over there. That's so weird.
Yeah, don't look at that. That's gonna just screw you up.
Yeah. Yeah, and then something I really like that I'm fond of right now is Mark, the top of Mark's hat. Because that's the main thing.
And now in about a second, you'll get to see him kind of do a little jiggle.
Look, you see over there, like the top of your hat next to with the blow-up doll's not in the shot. I don't know if that's good or bad.
Only part of her is.
Which part?
What that's do you think? Important. Yeah.
Two special parts.
Those are hard to hide.
Yes, exactly.
Sean, how you doing, my friend?
Man, it's a great new year. I'm doing awesome.
Yeah, good. You survived the all the madness down on Beale, the IBC?
Yeah, man. I have a regular gig. You know, yes. Club 152 on Beale Street, and I'm there every Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 5 days at least, 4 to 7. And since when the IBCs come to town, they actually, the competitions and stuff take over some of the clubs.
Right.
So I didn't have my regular gig. So for me, most of the IBCs, I got to sit home on the couch with my dog.
It's like a vacation week.
It was actually great. I got to recharge my batteries, and it was good.
That's good.
Yeah, man.
That's really good. Every time I come down to Beale, I'll stick my head into 152 when you're playing.
You do?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yes. Yes, you did, because you called me over for me to shake your hand while you were working.
Did I?
Yes, you did. Well, you see a lot of people down there.
I'm on cat tranquilizers most of the time.
Oh, I totally understand.
Yeah.
But you're over there working the tourists, and, Sean is the first guy you see when you go into 152.
Absolutely.
From the street.
Yeah.
He's right there near the patio. The tourists, they get their first look at the Blues by sticking their head in there, and there he is.
And
there.
I play so dang loud they could hear me like two blocks before they even get to the
It's Beale. Loud in there.
Yeah.
It's loud.
Well, they pump
loud.
It out to the street, too,
oh,
with
yeah.
the outside speaker. You
oh,
know?
Yeah.
People will say, like, you know, I parked, like, yeah, two or three blocks away, and, like, I was walking towards Beale Street, and I heard you, you know.
Yeah.
And they're not saying it's good. They just say they hear me.
Yeah, they hear you.
Yeah. Hey, I acknowledge you.
Yeah, yeah.
There.
Yeah. Can
cool.
My harmonica player, yeah, I was talking to you earlier about him. We called him Big Boy. He was a big dude, and he would wear overalls and dance around the whole time and play harmonica. And he was real special, man. And, you know, so sometimes, you know, that's what he would say to other people. They'd say, Big Boy, did you see me play at that one club? He'd say, oh, you're doing it. You're doing it.
You're doing it.
He didn't say that you did awesome. He'd say, you're doing it.
You're doing it. Yeah.
You're doing it.
It's happening.
That's good.
It's happening. that's a nice way to kind of like probably when I get done playing a couple songs, you guys will probably say, yeah, you're doing it.
Yeah, you're doing it. Yeah.
Well, I have to confess, I have not been into 152 in a long time. We were there Thursday for judges orientation on the third floor.
Wednesday.
Wednesday. I haven't been to 152 for a
You were a
long
judge?
Time. Yeah, but that's the last time I was there. The third floor was the rave floor, right? Like it's like
dance party, baby.
They've architecturally changed that whole area. Like, is it still like that or?
I don't go up there. It's not my scene.
That's
you know?
It, right? Yeah.
But it's. I mean, I don't know so much nowadays, but that was like the local dance club spot. I mean, they would be packed. There would be a line waiting to go in.
Yeah.
Especially when I would play there 10 at night till 2 in the morning. And when I would do late hours, and so I would just see a line of people waiting to go in, and they would, like, you know, one of the bartenders downstairs or waiter or waitresses would say, man, there's like 800 people up there. Like,
right.
it's just always like that. And I was up there twice. I had to go up and get paid at the manager's office. And so we went up through there, and it was just absolute, it's a sea of people. And
interesting. It's an insane scene, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I wish blues could always have that following. And that's what's beautiful about the IBC and each area having their own blues society to keep it going. And it's really important. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big week. We were down there for the IBC. I was there Wednesday and Thursday. I think you were there. Did you go last night?
No, I did not. I was brung out.
We saw some incredible talent.
Yeah.
Absolutely remarkable talent from all over the world.
Right.
And it was just it made me feel pretty good about seeing the younger guys that are stepping up and doing this.
I know. It's a wonderful thing.
It is.
Do you have any examples that you would like to?
Well, there was this kid from Australia.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, you're saying people that are good. Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to go over to the youth showcase, though.
No,
Kyle is in the room. I mean, I'm sure that went well for you.
Our guest from last weekend.
Yeah. Did you go, Mark? Yeah.
I was way in the back of the room. Did you see me? I kept waving.
Kept waving away, you know. Had his shirt off his head, waving it over his head.
I didn't go, Kyle. I'm so sorry. I couldn't.
Okay.
I couldn't
I texted
go.
You.
I know. Thank you, dude. It made me feel even worse. I couldn't.
He was on staycation. He was like, man, I don't have to go to Beale Street tonight, so I'm not
well,
gonna.
I live an hour each way. I live an hour north
of
Memphis. I live up between Covington, Dyersburg, up that way.
Well, okay. Yeah.
He's T County, baby.
Yeah, man. Tipton.
Is that
that's it.
So is that T County or beyond T County?
No, it's Tipton.
Yeah.
So he's either on Beale Street or he's down south, down in Clarksdale.
That's a
romp.
Oh man. From my house to Clarksdale is, I think, two hours, 43 minutes.
Good God.
Yeah, and I'm playing next Saturday. I'll be down in Jackson, Mississippi at the Blues Marathon.
Wow. I
talked to John Sewell, who's one of the, I guess, the people who run it, and he told me they had 6,500 runners, and that's normal.
Wow.
They combine blues with
With a marathon.
With a marathon. It's a lovely
thing. That just doesn't seem like it would go well.
I know, but it does.
Are they chain smoking the whole way?
Yeah, the hydration stations are just hitting out little Jack shots Daniels. Of whiskey.
Shot of whiskey instead of the water stops, you know?
Just pour whiskey.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I actually just said a particular brand on the air. Is that allowed?
You can say whatever you want, dude. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, hopefully they'll decide to sponsor us. So.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, sometime during the break, you got to let him show you this Gibson he's got out there that he brought in. Yeah, that thing's sweet.
Yeah, Gibson gave it to me, which is awesome.
It's out here.
We may have to talk guitar. We may have to go deep on guitar.
We should. Yeah, we should go geek. And
if that's all right.
Yeah, man.
Well, he's got that Gretsch over there in his lap. And,
I know. It's gorgeous. Well, that Epiphone back there is... I
like the flower on top, man. Look at the flower on the
That's gorgeous.
What do you call it, a headstock?
Yeah.
Is that what that's called? And then I like that it's blue.
It's a very, very.
You
got to
get your priorities straight.
Yeah, you sure? Yeah.
I mean, flower and blue, and it sparkles.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. It is absolutely gorgeous.
I don't sound like very much of a man. Everyone's getting uncomfortably quiet.
Are you kidding me? There's piles of wrecked ass all the way down 61 because of you.
Exactly. Me and my shiny purple shirt.
That's right.
Yeah, hell
causing
yeah.
Havoc.
Hell yeah. Well, before we go into a break, then how about we hear a tune from you? Are you you up to playing a little bit tonight? I mean, brought some stuff down here.
Yes.
He's a one man band thing. See, last time you were down here, you didn't play.
Yeah, well, it's just so much stuff to bring.
Well, screw that.
You know? Oh, wait. You sure I didn't play?
You sat over here on the end of the table and we talked for.
You're right.
For about 2.5-3 hours.
The first time I was on, I played my National Resonator.
Yes, you did.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's just a different. It's a completely different feel.
It is.
Mark, why are you cracking up, pointing cameras at me, laughing hysterically? What happened?
It's.
Okay.
No,
I know. That's what I'm afraid. Everyone, usually girls laugh at me when they look at me. Is it?
It's a good thing, yeah.
Yeah,
he's got the Facebook Live thing happening. We're broadcasting to the world right now.
That's awesome.
So where were you on the night of the 15th?
I was just going to say something inappropriate. I didn't know how.
See, let's refer back to my statement about wrecked ass up and down 61. You know,
that's the next album, I believe.
Wrecked ass, yeah.
Wrecked ass of 61.
Yeah. I'll just, you know.
Highway 61.
It's like a Russian runway. They just push the wreckage off to the side, you know.
Oh, man. All right, well, you want me to play something?
Well, why not? It's what you're here for, right? You know?
Yeah,
let's hear some blues, my friend.
All right.
Thank you.
on Bad Apple here at Radio Memphis. Thank you so much, sir. Yeah, there you go. A little North Mississippi.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, there's a lot of the the Burnside in your sound. Burnside and the Kimbrough.
Hit me up on Facebook 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of that in your sound.
Thank you
for sure.
Yeah, because I know you've spent some time listening to those guys and playing with them. Yeah.
And, Joseph Burnside was in a band with me and Big Boy, my harmonica player who passed, Joseph.
Yeah.
And our drummer for a time was Calvin Jackson, the dad of Cedric Burnside.
Oh, yeah.
And they were a cool team, man. They were awesome guys.
That's
and
awesome.
One of my best buddies is Mr. Robert Kimbrough.
Oh, yeah.
The youngest son of Junior Kimbrough. And we just did a show Thursday at the New Daisy. And I got Cam Kimbrough. He's really coming along, man.
Cam's been down here a couple of times. I'm really impressed with what he's doing.
Because a couple of years ago, man, do you know who Carl White is? Stud, T-Model Ford's grandson.
Yeah.
Man, he's just like Kyle Roberts over here. Stud's my little brother, man. I love him. I actually let Stud in my house, though. Not like Kyle. So
he just moved right in.
But Stud, he would stay with me, you know, and he would come play shows and stuff. And he's just such a good kid, man. I like Stud. And anyway, I never know what my point is. What was I talking about? So Stud, Stud was playing drums for me, and Stud had some other projects going on. So he said, "Hey, you should get Cam Kimbrough when I can't play. Get Cam to come play drums for you." And I said, "Well, I know, I saw him play. I think with Lightning Malcolm a couple times, and man, they did so good together." I said, "Yeah, that'd be cool." And Cam came to see us. I think Blues Hall, on Beale Street, and somewhere else, and sat in and did a couple songs on drums. And, oh my God! I mean, he's just it plays like Stud does. Just like their whole body is just into the. I mean, like the drums are gonna explode. There's just so much power and drive. And it really helps drive the style of music, you know. And then a couple shows, Cam in between would play on his guitar or my guitar and sing. And he was doing a good job. But, man, I'll tell you what. Like a couple weeks ago, I was on Beale Street, and he showed up. And I said, "Man, come on, do one." And he got up and sang and played. And, man, I got chills, man. It was great. And that's nice. And it's kind of cool because I think we all feed off each other. We all hear each other and keep wanting to get better.
You know?
Absolutely. Wanting to do the best we can. And Robert Kimbrough too. He every year he's getting better too. And we're all trying the best we can. And so anyway, on Thursday we played at the New Daisy Theater, and we've done it a couple of years and played for like 300 13-year-olds. There's like three buses and they come out of Florida. And it's some kind of seventh grade arts music class thing, and isn't that a nice art and music school?
That is awesome. Yeah,
send like whatever it was 289 13-year-olds to Memphis every year. Yeah, and every year, and so I did it the first 2 years they did it. Then actually Cam played it last year, and a great harmonica player in the area, Yella P.
Damon Pearson. Yella P. Yeah,
that's my buddy right there.
Yeah, he's something else too,
man.
He's taking that hip hop and blues thing and putting them together, and with Dula, you know Dula, right? Anthony Holmes.
I don't know if I do. I don't know.
He's been working with the LP for a while, and it is really cool what these guys are doing.
I know like 10 people, and most of them are in this room right now.
I hear
you. Because if I'm not playing, you know, I'm just off in the country.
You're one of those guys going, "You people."
there you go. But the North Mississippi Hill Country sound, it's funny because I think it's the latest discovery in blues for most people that's like a different sound. In the last couple of years, holy crap, man, it's just taken off. Like, I remember living down in Clarksdale and, you know, people coming from different places. Like a guy named Carlos Elliott came in. And I introduced him to, I was working at Cathead down in Clarksdale. And I had a guy named Robert Belfour on our store.
The Wolfman.
He's one of my heroes, man. Won't be another like him. He's awesome. He's one of the forefathers, I think, too, of Hill Country Blues, man. What's something called when it's all music? What kind of song is that?
An instrumental. Instrumental, yeah.
Yeah, his instrumental, Hill Stomp, is just, oh, my God. I hear that when I, like, as I'm falling asleep, when I wake up all the time. And but he was Belfour is so instrumental in that kind of sound. And what was I talking about now? I'm lost again, man.
It happens.
Talking to talk.
Well, I tell you what. Let me grab a break. When I come out of the break, I'm going to play Hill Stomp.
Oh yeah,
I have it here. You know, since we made reference to it, we got to let these people know exactly what they're.
That defines hill country sound. It sounds like Mississippi.
Yeah,
and it's different than. You know, it's not that. It's yeah. something else. It's just like its own special kind of groove thing. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
So I was going to ask if it was mainly Hollow Bodies for you, but then you whipped out this Gibson.
Oh, I whipped it out.
Yeah, you whipped it out. When in doubt, I whip it out. I got me rock and roll band.
Fellas, please.
That was given to me by Gibson. You know, I've never really been a Les Paul player.
I think they had to give those away at some point, didn't they?
Ah, that's mean.
Oh, they didn't sell real well.
No, I'll say this. Yeah. For me, it was really practical, and I wish the tuning mechanism broke because I put a heavier gauge string than I should have. And
yeah.
But anyway, I must be the only person on the planet. I love those guitars, and I had two Firebird X's because I'll tell you why it works great for me because I'm constantly going in between different tunings,
right,
and so if I do one song in open G, next song in open D, next song in standard, and again to make the music kind of sound different, I constantly have to either be, you know, bring a bunch of guitars with me, or I have to tune a guitar on stage and I'm breaking strings and all
right.
that. So it's a really practical. And then also, I'm not really someone who has foot pedals. I used to play with I played guitar in his electric band, a guy named Terry Harmonica Bean out of Pontotoc, mm-hmm. Mississippi.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he really didn't like when his guitar players would have pedals because there was a slight pause, you know, before you
don't time something. It right, yeah.
Yeah, and you're like constantly, and if you have too much stuff on there, you're constantly looking and doing this and all these, and I agreed, you know, and I used to even like turn my volume down, and he would just say, you know, no, it's just your touch, just with your touch, that should be how loud you play or how loud you don't play, you know, like if you're. If your guitar volume's, I'm doing parkour in the studio. If your guitar volumes are at this level, then you know, I think, you know, it seems like some people, if their guitar is at a certain level, then. That's the volume they play all the time, you know. But
right.
it could be.
Yeah, you want dynamics. You want to bring it up and bring it down.
Yeah, and I'm not touching the volume.
Yeah, for sure.
It's all in your hands at that point. Yeah,
yeah, and that's so. So with that guitar, it's great because it has all the effects built on it too. It has distortion. It has, you know, delay. It has all these things where. Man, it's a really great, and I like the flame top.
The finish is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a beautiful guitar.
Yeah, I know Gibson, and we were. It's funny because we were talking about this last week with you were here for that, Kyle. We were talking about equipment with musical instruments.
Please don't bring up other musicians. I want attention. So Kyle, can you?
Okay, yeah, sorry. He who shall not be named.
Yes.
But just how, you know, with musical equipment, it's funny people. Always seem to want, like, I'd rather have a 70s Strat than a 2010 Strat. Right. Like, we want the old stuff. Yeah. There's no other industry where you could capitalize off of some the way they've made things.
Well, cars.
Well,
muscle cars now are going through the roof.
Yeah, but now you want to get them, like, with modern shocks. And
Right. But isn't that crazy? Like, when I was in high school, if someone had a Chevelle, you would make fun of them and
right.
be like, oh, that's a shop kid, man. You know, what are you, driving some crappy Chevelle? And now it's like... I mean, I liked them then. I like them now. Like, I like cars back then. I like them now. But, like, if you have a Chevelle that's like an off-frame restoration, it's a $70,000 car.
Yeah, but then there's a 66 Strat that's worth about the same.
Right,
you know?
That's true. It is.
Just with Gibson putting those out there, that is like the peak of guitar technology.
It is. And the purists, like you were mentioning earlier, the purists...
It's clean.
Yeah.
Well, the purists who like the old awesome, you know, would rather have a 60s style Gibson, they don't really like all the technology that's on board this
guitar. Didn't sell very well for them at all, unfortunately.
And they retailed for $8,000 and sold for like $6,000.
And I mean, you know, for what it's worth, whether you like it or hate it,
$1,000.
That's still, that was innovative. Like, hey, how do we thousands-of-year-old technology and do something with it. Yeah,
like, I'm constantly going from all these different tunings, tuning back and forth.
So when you say that, you could tell it what tuning to go to, and it would just do it?
Yeah, you just flip to tuning, you turn a dial, and then it goes, now it's an open D, and you're ready to go. So I could, if I'm at a major blues festival.
But only for using the right gauge strings, as you just pointed out.
You want to use a light gauge string with them, because, yeah, if you put a, like, on the... You know, the small E string, like, you know, like Stevie Ray Vaughan, I think, what would he have on that? Like 12 or 13? Yeah, yeah.
He had a telephone cable is what he had on telephone.
Right. And so you want to put like a 9-gauge string on there so it doesn't warp the mechanism in there.
Right.
It puts too much pressure, I guess, on it. Because that's what happened to both my Gibson Firebird X's and this Les Paul X, where the tuners stopped working. And it's really unfortunate because for me... You know, every person will look at that guitar and they would make fun of me and say, oh, it plays itself and you don't even have to do this and that.
I never thought that.
So I'll hand it to them and say, well, show me. Like, let it play itself. Show me, you know. But I think they're practical. Other people put them down because they think it's
But most blues guys are going to use a heavier gauge string,
but
though.
But you know what? Because that's your bass. That's your bass guitar right there, right?
But it sounds so good, that guitar. It really does.
And that's because it's playing itself.
That's the thing, man.
Playing itself.
You remember Palm Pilots back in the day?
Piano.
Yeah, Palm Pilots, yeah.
You remember Palm Pilots back in the day? Like 10 years, 15 years, 20 years from now, people are going to be like, oh, man, that thing was so ahead of its time.
Right.
Like, all the guitars do that shit now, but back then it was the only one.
Right.
I mean.
I always look at things that are practical in my life. Like, you may have everyone you know saying, you know, don't eat those big grapes. They're disgusting. And, oh, don't.
Right.
But if I try a big grape and I love it, like, I don't care what anyone says. And that guitar is really practical and awesome. Yeah. I just wish the tuning mechanisms didn't break. That's all.
But it's got effects built into it. It's got
everything.
The tuning.
Yeah, that is insane. Like, distortion. And so, like, all you do is, like, I could be playing clean where it has, like, acoustic guitar settings, and then you just put the switch down, and then it's like... You know, and like I would like to do like R.L. Burnside's that one song, man, don't you let my baby ride, man, don't you let my baby ride, man, and then, you know, bam 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 and bam bam and bam bam bam, you know, with distortion, all you do is flip a switch down, and then I could just boom and then come back in clean like with some little slide thing and then back into it, you know, and it's
when you use that feature, right, and you're playing, strings will get out of tune while you're playing. Does it make...
Not really. They're locked right in. They're locked.
So does it make adjustments while you're playing? As strings stretch out, you know?
No. They're like this top thing right here twists down where it locks them.
So it's like a locking nut.
Locking. Is that what you call it?
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. Like a Floyd Rose, except it's right through the nut. Not
oops, I just busted a nut.
Good night, everybody. We'll be here all week.
Sorry about that.
No, don't apologize. That was beautiful.
No, I've never seen one of those in real life. I've read all about them. And again, a lot of guitar players came and just hating on it, like right out of the gate. It was but at least Gibson's trying something.
Yeah, I mean, how could you blame? And you know, here's how I look at it. Whatever product it is, anything on earth, like for instance, if there's some sports, I won't even say I want people to like me.
I love sports ball.
No, there's some sports.
Sports ball.
There's some sports that I don't really watch, right? But I don't go around saying, oh man, who needs that? They shouldn't play that. Like, that's none of my business. Like, if someone likes a particular sport that I don't care for,
right?
Like I like boxing, but I don't go around like yelling at people they should like boxing. Because so if Gibson comes out with an innovative guitar and it has all the – they're just trying to help guitar players have all the stuff right there at their fingertips so they don't have to buy digital delay pedals, buy distortion pedals, do all these things. Like, and basically it has its own amps built into it. You can plug this in, USB, go on your computer and program any sound you want into this guitar. Huh. Different tunings. You can put whatever tunings, lock them in there. So it's such a highly innovative product.
Right.
And like I said, so other guitar players, rather than just it comes out and them saying, oh, I can't believe Gibson's doing this. Well, what are they doing? What are they doing that's so badly affecting you?
Well, I mean, what are guitars supposed to look like on the Starship Enterprise? I mean,
there you go.
The technology's got to move forward.
Yeah.
But, you know, Fender and Gibson's the ultimate, like, Ford and Chevy.
Yeah.
And, you know, Gibson, I mean, again, I love Fender, and I know they've done some innovative stuff, but nothing on the instrument itself.
Yeah. Fender has the thing where it sounds like... Different tunings.
They've got the modeling pedals. Right, but
it doesn't actually turn the tuning heads. It, like you flip a switch, because I was going to buy a Strat like that. I was going to try Fender's version. You flip a switch, and then it's, as long as you tune your guitar exactly to standard tuning, you flip that switch, and then it's in open G. But if it's not completely tuned right, then when you do that, it's not going to be right.
But, you know, and this is the retro guitar player becoming up going, that sounds too much like magic or the future.
Like
you're still, but you're also waiting for it to process that.
Right. And see, I will reiterate though, like if you are a player, like 99% of players out there who, you know, you do love your vintage amps, you love your certain, you know, you want a certain wah pedal, you want this and that, you want a certain guitar. And you play in standard tuning. That is, I will put emphasis on that. If you play in standard tuning primarily, well, why do you need something that you could push a button and it goes to all these tunings? But, you know, especially doing the one-man band where I'm constantly jumping back and forth.
I didn't know it did that. That's
yeah, good. And that's the main reason. That helps me so much because, like I said, if I play three songs in open G, it's like to the average person who's not familiar with the style of music, they're going to think I play the same song three times.
See, you know, they need to make you the spokesperson for that guitar and go for the blues market, the blues niche.
I'm going to send this recording to Gibson.
Well, you can,
and there's your actually, right there.
You could find me on if you look up Sean Bad Apple Gibson Firebird X, you'll see a commercial for Gibson.
That okay, I
did.
Yeah.
So
he's a spokesman
already done.
Yeah. See there, done. Yeah, done.
But that's brilliant. I mean, you just sold me on it more than any article I've ever read about it.
Thanks,
that's,
man. Yeah.
It makes sense if you break it down that way. Yeah.
Yeah. It's practical for some.
But nobody wants to give it that chance. Nobody wants to let somebody explain it. Yeah.
Right. It's kind of like, you know, I don't like DeLoreans. Doors shouldn't open that way. Like, okay.
I don't want my car to drive itself. Are you crazy?
And have a flux capacitor. Yeah.
It was a shitty car. Let's get it over with. You know?
Back to the future. Hey.
But it might be cocaine in the seats.
Right.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. That's what the seats were made of when they were stuck with cocaine. Yeah.
We're busting nuts. We're snorting cocaine. This is a radio show.
I tell you what. We don't fool around over here, Sean.
Exactly.
Well, let's hear a tune. I know it's been a long night for you, so let's...
Yeah, I had a gig earlier on Beale Street. As I was saying earlier, I played at a place called Club 152 every Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 4 to 7 on Beale Street. Where can
everybody else find you, like in social media? Do you have your schedule posted somewhere Facebook? Or
honestly, I don't.
The hell?
No, I don't. I don't tell anyone where I play. It's crazy.
You just told us.
You guys put...
It's a bold move, Cotton. Let's see how it plays out.
Mark put it on my Facebook that I was here, and then I saw it and thought, hey, that's a good idea, and I shared it. But, I think, you know, most musicians go out of the way to just tell everyone they know where they're going to be. I don't, because then I'm – then, you know, it's funny because people –
you like my act, you find me. That's what's up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, it's kind of like, you know, people will see me and go, oh, you need to tell me when you're playing. And I go, oh, okay. But I don't really want to, because then it's a weird thing that happens psychologically. It's like – they're saying that really just to be nice, to make you know that they support you. But then if I actually talk to someone and say, okay, you want that? Okay. Well, Mona, I'm going to call you every time I play. Now, my mind, here's how it works. For 4 hours, I'm going to be doing this, like looking through the audience until you come in. And when you don't come, I'm going to take it personally and it'll break my heart. So I'm a weird person. You know?
All right, just let it go.
I can't.
Just let it go.
I can't.
Just let it go.
That happens
man.
All the time when you're
a
musician.
God. I know, but that's why I don't tell anyone where I'm going to play, because then if people show up, I'm pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, but if you just broadcast it on social media, you don't know who cares. Who's
and I'm not really a big fan of it. I'm old school. I have a Facebook account because some lady made me. She's like, you need to have one. And she set it up while I was on stage. She kept yelling up questions to me. You know, I like old.
What year were you born?
You know.
Are you in a relationship?
By the way, my social security number is. Can I do a song called Shake 'Em On Down?
You can play whatever you want, man.
All right, man. That's it.
He's going on North Mississippi All-Stars is what he's doing over here. I hear what you got that Luther Dickinson thing
by
happening.
The same people.
That little slide lick you were doing there. You know?
See, if I had that guitar in my hands, I wouldn't have.
Well, it's sitting there next to you, for God's sake. I mean,
I just like how it looks.
I know, I hear you.
And I really haven't played it in a year and a half, but it's probably been like, I think they gave it to me 2 years ago. I played it for like maybe about 4 months or something.
Right.
Still doesn't have that hollow body sound. I don't care what it can do digitally.
It does. Yeah,
oh, really?
Dude, it sounds better.
Are you kidding me?
Off the air.
Better than that.
Off the air, we'll have a dick measuring contest with Goddamn Gibson and see what it does.
I have a tiny dick. I'm
Christ.
All right.
Thank you.
she left Mobile, but I holler.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm exhausted. I ain't gonna lie.
You know,
looks like a lot of work.
I gotta do Pilates. Do something to stretch out. Is there any EMTs? We got an EMT.
We'll call one for you.
Oh my God.
You know, you could have run away with the IBC. I think with that solo duo thing. Oh, come on, man. I mean, you know, I saw a lot of talent over the week, and there's few that can compare to what you're doing. And my hat's off to you, my friend.
Thank you, buddy.
It's absolutely tremendous to watch you play. And thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you for having me, man. I sure appreciate it. It means a lot. And, you know, music sometimes, although it should be a lovely celebration, sometimes it's a lonely prospect. You know, sometimes you sit in your house alone for a long time and wonder, you know, why doesn't people hire you? And that's what we got. My buddy Kyle over here, he's 19. Yeah. He moved down here from Wisconsin. And God bless you, buddy, because I've been there, man, and it's a long road, you know, and because talent, man, is like 10% of the music business, I think. The other 90 is like...
Just showing up.
Showing up and
doing
in
it.
Relationships and getting out there, and you just got to, you know, go talk to every musician, go to every jam, go to, you know, talk to everyone you can and just get out there and keep being on the scene, and eventually... It's a crazy thing because it's like the more people hear your name, then they almost just assume you're good. You just got to ingrain your name in their psyche.
You know, it's funny. We've said that on this broadcast before that, you know, when you're a professional musician, everybody thinks that, oh, it's fun. You get to live the life. You stand up late. You're sleeping in. That time you're performing, that's not even the job. That's the best part of the job.
That's like 1%.
And it's, yeah, that's half of 1%. The booking, the gigs, or the writing, or just everything else that goes into it. That's just the part everybody sees.
Schlepping the gear, yeah.
It's so hard behind the scenes. It really
is. It's not like being a professional athlete because you certainly don't get paid as well. But, you know, we talk about football players, you know, playing the game on Monday night, That's just
going through the motions.
One night of the week, workout. They're still having to practice and work out and do all this other shit just to make all that happen.
It took me, like, let's just take Beale Street. It took me 12 years, of calling, of sending emails, of going and talking to people. It took me 12 years of really trying before I could get my first gig, and it was on the sidewalk for free in front of the New Daisy.
And you know what? You hear that all the time?
Yeah, man. Yeah. It took me forever. Yeah. And I was primarily playing in Clarksdale, where I lived, and in surrounding areas, you know, Marigold, Mississippi, there was a great place. It used to be called Poe Monkeys. Willie Seabury owned it, and it was one of the last real juke joints anywhere in the world. And it was a real special place. And so I used to play Marigold. I would play wherever. And, yeah, Como, Mississippi a lot, like I said, being in R.L. Boyce's house. And a bit before that, yeah, Bentonia, Mississippi. I'll tell you what it comes down to. Each area has their own musicians, you know, and it's hard to – break into that kind of territory, you know, so you really just have to, it's a matter of getting to know everyone. And it seems like a lot of musicians too are territorial about their own area. You know, you build up, you spend a lot of time building up a brand in your area. It's a lot of work. So when someone new comes in, sometimes it's a hard thing to kind of break through a lot of people's defenses of, you know, yeah. What do you think you're going to come here? Come here and steal my job?
Oh, yeah.
It's tough. Well, in a city like Memphis.
They
stole my gig.
It's tough in a city like Memphis where there's not a lot of gigs. But I also think part of it, though, the other side of it is, and I've only come to believe this as I've gotten older myself, is it's, you know, it's all that, but it's also, you know, you're either, if you really want to succeed, you're either the best at it or the person that's just still in the game. Because,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, you stick to it long enough and, you know, a lot of people come and a lot of people go, but if you're still in the game.
You're right. If you're around for 30, 40 years, especially in an area, then by that point, you're definitely known and respected by people.
Right.
Yeah. And that's a nice thing. You know, that's like when I lived down in Clarksdale, that's in Mississippi, that was a thing. You know, I would play 7 days a week and find a job wherever I can to play all the time to keep busy, to, you know, have things like a house or a car, you know, and be able to pay bills. And that's what I was saying to Mark over here earlier was, I think if you play music for the right reasons and you're not looking for, you know, wealth or fame or something ridiculous, which you're certainly not going to find in blues.
Play for those reasons.
Hey, Joe Bonamassa made it. Hey, buddy guy, you know, big names like, you know, out there.
Yeah, but more people win the lottery than make it.
And their fame is in blues. Like the average person walking around listening to, you know, like normal people music, like country or rock, they don't even know who Joe Bonamassa or Buddy Guy or any of the like. What's the country lady singer with the long hair? Like
who knows?
She's real famous though.
Like, whatever.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah,
there are a dozen.
The main. What's
the highest paid lap dancers in
Nashville? I got a cooler full of fun.
Crystal Gayle was the original country lady with the long hair.
You know what I mean? She's like a pop country girl, like
Taylor Swift.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. That's
it. Only took us five tries to get there.
We're the only people on the planet who could not figure that name. Everyone else. Yes,
most of our 15-year-old female listenership is screaming at their radios right now. Go.
See, it's hard.
It's Taylor Swift, y'all.
Yeah, and it's hard for me because those are the girls I date, so I never can play the songs that they like. They don't like the songs. They're like,
but that's what makes it work for you, though. That way they don't have to like change their style for you. Oh, he's just a blues musician. I don't know what he's doing. Right.
Oh, officer, I'll be out in 1 second. Give us time to wrap this up.
Exactly. You know.
Me.
Beale Street Club 152. What nights are you there?
I'm always there Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 4 to 7.
4 to 7. Yeah.
So Sunday and Monday, that's your weekend.
Monday, Wednesday, I'm not there.
Monday, Wednesday.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. So you
Tuesday,
are,
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
There he is. Yeah. Online, go get his music. I know your
you
last.
You can't find it.
You can't?
No. You thought I was kidding? No. You will not find it.
We have some of it in our library.
He brought us some of this stuff.
Yeah, we got his last
album in here.
Well, you can have it, but I don't want anyone else to have it. I'm very secretive.
Okay.
It's
then don't buy his record, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't buy it.
Just gotta go see him live. Yeah.
In fact, consider twice before you go to the 152.
Yeah,
don't even come see me.
No.
Don't follow him on Facebook.
No.
But you guys out there listening should definitely buy R.L. Burnside albums, Robert Belfort, T-Model 4. Buy R.L. Boyce's latest Rolling and Tumbling, and all the people doing it out there. And, man, Johnny Shines was awesome, man. His daughter, Carolyn Shines Edwards, puts on an awesome festival in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, to represent her daddy. Man, he was awesome, man. Johnny Shines. Check him out if you haven't heard of him.
Johnny Shines.
Just like Robert Johnson, man. No one else could sound like Robert but Johnny. He traveled with him.
Huh. Well, thank you, my friend.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Oh,
it's been great. Thank you for coming down.
Sean Bad Apple, ladies and gentlemen.
He's from Australia.
Hey, Sean. Stuart. Hi from Bluesboro Stewart in Australia.
Look, that's the thing about the blues community, too, man. I mean, you meet so many nice friends. I have this really great sheepskin coat. It's like 40 years old. And, you know, they started out as blues fans, but I never even say that word. That's a weird. But they're friends. They're great friends.
Right,
these people from Ohio, Dave and Cindy, they say they said they're like my blues mom and dad, you know, and they've been seeing me play festivals and different shows for a long time. And they, like a couple years ago, they came down and brought me this sheepskin coat, man. I mean, that's a friend. You never give me coats, Mark. What kind of friend are you? Man, exactly.
He could probably throw a Memphis Blues Society t-shirt your way.
I think he's got a pocket full of picks if you need any.
Do you? And hey, the Memphis Blues Society is so lucky to have you, Mark. I mean, you're
amen.
Just out there.
Amen. Absolutely.
I mean
amen.
It.
Yeah. Very
you know,
true.
The Memphis Blues community in general.
Yeah. That, like the whole music community. Like he's just such a supporter of all music. And
he loves those ska bands.
Do you like ska? He does not.
Actually, he's a big fan of Deadmau5. It's
I don't even know what that is.
EDM.
Wait, is Taylor Swift in that?
I think she is, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, if there's any people listening to this show that are in the area, I welcome you to come help me take my gear out.
You got a room full of roadies right over here.
That's
you know.
Awesome. Yeah. And hey, listen to, man, Kyle's been on the show, right?
Yeah, he has.
Yeah, last week.
Yeah.
He has the fundamental basis for being a success in music, and that is he's a very nice young man, and that really counts more than anything else. It counts more than, you know, because part of learning this craft, again, music, it's not how many notes you play on the guitar or all this stuff. It's really your relationship with people and just being a good person in general in life, and I think if you do that, everything else works itself out, you know. So you're doing good, buddy. Yeah, man.
Well put.
No, you can't. You're not
very well put.
I wish somebody had told me that when I was youngest player. I might not have been such an asshole.
Yeah, well.
That can't be true. Well, thanks again for having me, guys. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Sean.
The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical supplies and gifts. We stock candles, herbs, gemstones, incense, salt lamps, and more. We also host monthly rituals and events for those looking to get together with like-minded people. And the Broom Closet is the only place you can get your cards read by me, Reverend Emily. I'm an ordained Wiccan minister and Reiki master. Book your next tarot reading and see what's in the cards for you. Discover conscious living and being connected to an awesome community. The Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop is located in downtown Memphis, or visit our online store at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, where magic begins.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Sitting here with I guess really he's more of a member of our family than anything else, but Mr. Vince Johnson is sitting there over at the end of the table. Good to see you, Vince. You're looking good. We had a little bit of a health thing there for a bit, but you seem to be.
4 months ago, I had a stroke.
Oh God, that's scary stuff, man.
Yeah.
More scary for me than anybody else.
Was it something it just happened?
I was we had just finished playing at Blues Hall on Beale Street, and I reached to unplug my equipment, and I couldn't move my left arm. It wouldn't go there.
Oh, man.
It was like it wouldn't go any further, and I couldn't get the left leg off the floor. Yeah, I thought, hey, it just happened, you know.
Yeah.
But I thought it was gonna be okay. Yeah, but. Went to the hospital and said, you had a stroke, fool.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or tune in. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Yeah, there we go. How about that? That was Sean Apple there. Sean the Bad Apple here from Radioland. Glad you got a chance to hang around and listen to that. He's a great guy. If you get a chance and you go down to Beale Street, he's there most days. So there at Club 152. Pardon. Oh, God. All right. On that, I guess I got to go. You heard what's coming up next time on the program. Until then, please take care of yourselves, take care of one another, and for God's sake, quit shooting each other, all right? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com.
For more, go to radio-memphis.com.